The role of a prophet is always to restore a sense of the transcendent. And Amos is doing just that. It always disturbs people when somebody just appeals. This is how many times repeated. It's a nice secular government run by a king. They started their own shrine up at Bethel to stop the people from going back down to Jerusalem. Because if they go back, they're going to like it down there. They're going to want to put the kingdoms back together again. I won't be king anymore because the successor to David is down in Jerusalem. And so give them their religion, you know. Let them have a temple. Let them have a sanctuary. Give them their religion. See, it means nothing. If you lose a sense of transcendence, all you've got is power. And so this prime minister is, it's Amaziah, the priest of Bethel. Either this guy was a real priest and he knows that he's now in apostasy, or he's just another hired hand going through the motions, you know, singing songs and burning cows and keeping everybody happy. But there's nothing around. This is all there is. That's where the world is today. We use a nice word for it. We say secular. But that's just being nice. You know, it's atheist. There is no God. If you feel good, you know, talking to God, go ahead. If you want to go to church, go ahead, but face it, this is it. And so, in such a world, of course, go earn your bread by prophesying, see? Some of the prophets, they'd get together in groups, prophetic bands, and they would go along, and sometimes they had a real word from the Lord, and sometimes they didn't. But they would expect the people to support them. Amos was working for a living until the Lord called him. And maybe he's working for a living yet when he's not bothering people with the word of the Lord. And so, you see, that basic principle doesn't change. People don't want to be bothered with transcendence, even though they're afraid of dying. Even in this life, they're afraid of forces they can't see and control, but they know they're around. Read any of the books that treat the lives of the famous atheists of our last 400 or 500 years. They all had truck with demons. You're in this world, you need power, you need protection, you need something, and so you get in touch with these demons, and they're only too happy to oblige. So I'm trying to point out that, see, there's an issue here. Who told that king to build that shrine? It doesn't mean a thing to him, but it'll keep the people, if they want to go there and sing their songs and pray to God, whatever that means, let them do it here. And Amos, you see, comes along with a real word from the Lord, and as always, it's very disturbing. And so, you see, he's telling them, you know, you're sinning, and this whole northern kingdom is going to be blotted out. You're all going into exile. Now, he doesn't want that. We haven't heard yet, because we're only, we can hear pretty soon. If I wonder if we're going to get there with Amos. I hope they give us his intercession. We'll see. Doesn't look like it. Read it yourself then. It's in chapter 7. You see, you can't prophesy like this because you're an angry young man. You prophesy like this because you love the Lord and you love his people. And there's a big difference. Huh? That's how you can tell a prophet from a nut. And so you see, so Amos answers Amaziah, look, I'm not a professional prophet. I was no prophet, nor have I belonged to a company of prophets. I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamore trees. The Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Now hear the word of the Lord. Now he loves the Lord. He's going to obey the Lord. So this guy, whether he was a small farmer, whatever he was, you know, he's talking to the prime minister. And he's saying, look, you say prophesy not against Israel, preach not against the house of Isaac. Now thus says the Lord, your wife shall be made a harlot in the city. God doesn't play games. And your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword. Your land shall be divided by measuring line. And you yourself shall die in an unclean land, Assyria. Israel shall be exiled far from its land. You know what that means? I mean, who is Israel? Those are the people who inherited the land that God promised to Abraham. And now God is saying, it's over. You're out. No more land for you. And to this day, Israel is waiting for the gathering of those 10 lost tribes. To this day, they expect the Messiah to come and gather. He's already done it. Just read chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, huh? From the tribe of Asher, 144,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, well, Benjamin's okay. From the tribe of Gad, 144,000. For the tribe, they're in heaven. They're all gathered by the Messiah through his cross and resurrection. And they're in heaven. So that Israel's expectation has been fulfilled. And so, but now the word has come. Enough. This is mercy. Doesn't sound like it, but it's mercy. There was a prophet who saw all this deservedly coming to Israel. And he read God's heart and saw that, as it were, God was conflicted. You remember that? We had it a few days ago, well, a month ago. Hosea chapter 11, remember? When Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. And then now the sword is going to whirl through his cities. And he says, I can't do that. My own heart turns against me. I am God, not man. I am the Holy One in the midst of you. This time, he sends Amos and says, tell him it's over. Why? Social injustice and idolatry. So where are we? Social injustice and idolatry. And so, I won't preach along on the other one now because we got to get going here. But you'll notice in the New Testament that paralysis is often linked to sin. There's a text in the book of Acts where a guy's paralyzed and Paul heals him, if you remember. Here's one, you see. So sin is paralyzing. And so, to heal this man, first, he has to take away his sin. Well, there's a system for that. You go to the temple, you buy a cow, the priest sacrifices it, and that, you know, and Jesus is cutting right through all of that and declaring that man's sins are forgiven. Well, the word, there's two words, I've told you all this before. There's two words in Hebrew, bara and salach. And only God can do them. One is create, the other is forgive. Only God can forgive sins. And so, you see, your sins are forgiven. And they got pretty upset. This man is blaspheming. He's claiming divine prerogatives. They got the claim, but their heart was too hard to get the implication. So, out of mercy, he says, okay, you see, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Get up, my friend, and go home. Didn't change their hearts, did it? So, as we enter into a... what is going to change the heart of this nation? Love, signs and wonders, and the truth. It, you know, it's polite to call it a secular nation. You know, it's a nice word, secular, whatever that means. No, this is an atheist country. Even those who go worship God are really atheists. You know, they worship any old thing. It's a nice custom, like turkey on Thanksgiving. You know, it's a nice thing to do. Where are the preachers to give the people the truth again and liberate them? Now you see why the Pope has said the next step for the Catholic Church is the new evangelization. We have to go evangelize the world, but as he says, the first people to be evangelized, the Catholics. Just read Commonweal. Just read America. Just read all the... They don't know anything. How can we preach to the world if we don't know what we're talking about? If we don't experience what we're talking about? Which was why the Lord poured out the baptism in the Spirit. For everybody. You don't have to join a holiness club. It's for everybody who believes. To have an experiential faith and gifts. Return to normality. And then preach it.